This is Dr. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing. Today we're going to discuss the idea of healing. To heal is to return to our original purity and integrity. Now, if it's to return to something, you would think that the act of returning would be a most natural act, like the prodigal son coming back to his father. He remembered and recognized the oneness that he had with his parent at home, and it was a natural and a beautiful thing. Well, actually, healing is a natural and a beautiful thing, too. Stop and think about what healing really means. When do you know about illness, or when do you know about inharmony, or when do you know about unhappiness or lack? You know about it only because when you are perfect, you don't know about it. When you have abundance, you don't give abundance any thought. When you have right action and harmony in your home and your affairs, you don't give it any thought. When you are successful, when you are flying high, you don't give it any thought. How very interesting, isn't it? How very interesting that we never think about our feet or our hands or our eyes when they are functioning in a perfect, harmonious way. Well, this is what healing is all about. It's returning to that natural, beautiful, perfect way. When natural, of course, means the idea of being in divine harmony. So let's consider for a moment how healing really is. Healing is right action in all areas of our life. If it is a return to our real self, then the experience of unwholeness is not real. Certainly a most obvious conclusion. Healing is perfection. Healing is harmony. Healing is being able to do all those things that you choose to do at any moment that you choose to do it. There are many areas of healing. Areas of mind and body, spiritual awareness, our world, our affairs, our experiences. Truly all are one. For when we are in harmony, that means to be harmonious with our world. We really are totally unaware that there could be anything less than harmony. We've often used the phrase, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you." Well, this is what healing is. Again, we return to the idea of the prodigal son. He returns to that which is harmonious for him. He returns to the memory of happiness, the memory of being included in a beautiful family circle, the memory of being wanted, the memory of being loved, the memory of being joyous and surrounded by the abundance of the universe. This is a memory that we can have, too. This is a memory that calls us to the possibility of healing. Many times we think about the possibility of healing, and we think that, well, it's gone too far. My body has been eaten away too far by this disease or this problem or this loss of a limb or this loss of anything. It cannot be replaced. Well, this is not true. In the divine scheme of things, in the divine body, in the divine experience of all, we have all things. There is nothing missing from us. We should not believe in any appearance of anything that is missing, for it truly is only an illusion. It's only an experience that is not real. For the real of us is always there. Reminds me of the work that's being done in many laboratories of colleges around the country, where they have photographed the phantom limb, the phantom portion of a leaf, the phantom of a reality. The real is always there. The divine form is always there. No matter what we do to it, no matter what appearances we may expose it to, the divine is always there. To heal is to return to our original purity and integrity. Where did we ever get such a definition? Well, strange as it may seem, right out of the dictionary. For the dictionary, in Webster's Seventh New Collegiate Dictionary, it's the third definition that's given, and it's a definition that is as powerful as it is real. Returning to our original purity and integrity. Once we know who we are it. But only healing is needed in our awareness of who and what we are. Whenever we seek to work on symptoms, effects, we are going at it very poorly, because we will correct the effect oftentimes, but we leave uncorrected, unpurified, the cause. Let's look at what is the cause. As medical science tells us that some 90%, and some medical scientists even say more, of all of the illnesses are psychosomatically caused. That means caused by mental thinking. We, in our spiritual direction here, can readily recognize that 100% of all of the problems of mankind are brought into their experiences, into our experiences, by our own thinking. Only healing needed is the awareness of who and what we are. This is the only healing that's needed. The awareness of who and what we are. We are God. This still brings an interesting thinking and attitude to the many minds of many people. We are God. But truly, if we were not God, we could not be perfect. If we were not God, if we were not the total reality of the universe, we could never experience wholeness in all that it is. For we would only be experiencing a part of that wholeness. Now the thought often comes to our mind, well, I am a part of God. Now this is sort of like a humble attitude about it. I am a part of God. I am a part of all that is good. I am a part of purity, and I am a part of joy and harmony. But I'm not all of it. For to be of all of it means that there can be no area of our life where anything other than this purity exists. Yes, it does place a tremendous responsibility on us to be all of God. It places a tremendous responsibility on our life to express totally the harmony, the beauty, and the goodness that we are. It's quite interesting when you get down to it. It's quite interesting when you realize that being all of God, you are all that ever can be. For in being all of God, you are the totality of the universe, as I am. To be all of God means that we are all that is good. For in our conceptualization of God, we have come to realize that God is only good. God is only purity. God is only wholeness. God is only allness. Well, now the omniscience, the omnipotence, and the omnipresence of the universal creative cause demands that It is everywhere, in everything, as everything, with all of its beingness or knowingness, and all of the power that we can conceive of God as being. This being true, we have at our fingertips, so to speak, all the power that God is. For every word we speak brings about a result in our life. And the word we speak also outpictures what we believe about ourselves. As God, wholeness prevails. For once we know it, once we know who we are it. But this awareness of who and what we are demands that we experience that which is. As God, wholeness prevails. Tension goes, and with it bodily ills. Tension goes, and with it mental conflict. Tension goes, and with it worldly inharmony. Comes peace that passeth all understanding. Healing does begin in the mind. Every thought that we ever have helps to bring about our world. No, we must take that back. It doesn't help to bring about our world. It brings about our world. Take responsibility for it. Don't give responsibility to something or someone else. It is our choice. It is our decision. It is our world. Every time we say anything which is inharmonious or which might bring about a result that is negative in our world, we are creating that in our environment. We are experiencing something unlike the purity, the original purity and integrity which we are, the godliness that we are. So as we turn our attention to the reality and take responsibility for the world, it happens. Now we've used this term responsibility quite often. What does it really mean? What does responsibility really mean? Well, number one, you cannot not take responsibility for your world. For every single word that you think or speak or do, a result follows. If you think that it's a beautiful morning, to you it's a beautiful morning, to you it's a beautiful day, to you the experiences that you're having are absolutely marvelous. In your world it is great. You have created it, you have brought it about, and you have spoken it into being, and it is beautiful for you, or me, or whoever it is who is speaking this. If we speak a negative word and say that the world is not so beautiful today, then for us, it is not so beautiful today. You say, well, that's illusory. It is something that is only temporary. It's something that's not real. It's something that we have created. Well, yes, it is. It's something that we have just created. For we create a world which expresses the truth, or a world which expresses illusion, expresses appearance. What world is it that we want to have? Some people might call us Pollyanna, as we go about expressing the beautiful and the perfect and the pure. But stop and think once. According to your thought, it is done unto you. According to your words, your world responds to you. According to each idea that you place in your consciousness, you have that experience in your world of appearances. We just said a moment ago that as God, wholeness prevails, tension goes, and with it bodily ills. tension goes, and with it mental conflict. Tension goes, and with it worldly inharmony. How interesting. How interesting to say that tension is the thing that brings these things about. And where is tension? Where does tension take place? We say, oh, it's in our body, it's in our world, you can feel the tension. No, it's all in our mind. All tension exists in our mind. Really, it does. All tension takes place in our mental attitude. For you cannot be tense if you are not aware of something. You cannot be tense unless you mentally conceive it for yourself. You cannot be tense unless your mind feels the tension in the air, or your mind apprehends the tension and responds to it. You cannot be tense unless you mentally take part in it. It's a mental apparition. It's a mental attitude. So, since tension is something in the mind, why not change that and put harmony into our everyday thought? Put love into our everyday thought. Put health into our everyday thought. For certainly we would most readily enjoy a world of health and love and harmony and peace, much more than we would enjoy a world that would have its opposites. And yet it is to the experience of many of us that we have spoken our word and brought into our world something less than we are. To heal is to return to our original purity and integrity. It's a natural state. It is a state of the reality about us. It's not the state of appearances. For appearances come and go. The reality remains consistent and remains always the same. The reality of us is never changing. The reality of us is dependable. And that's why we turn our attention to it. That's why we seek out the reality and not the appearances. Many people go to different experiences and they say, oh, how wonderful that is. Oh, how interesting that is. And they love to see the tension of a skier zipping down the hill, for they feel that perhaps he'll fall. They love to see the auto races, for perhaps they'll see a crash. They go there for the thrills, for the drama, for the excitement. But think about this. Why is it that the large majority of the skiers do not fall? Because in their consciousness, they see themselves skiing absolutely perfectly, and they ski that way. Occasionally they will let themselves into the idea that they are imperfect or that they could fall, and at that moment they fall. Think about the auto races. Yes, think about those auto races. The Indianapolis 500. Those cars roaring around those turns and zipping through those wonderful experiences. The hundreds and hundreds of drivers who drive their cars absolutely perfectly. And then the thousands upon thousands of people in the stands looking for thrills. What utterly fantastic consciousness these drivers must have to not be affected by the consciousness of the thousands of spectators in the stands who watch them and speak their word, oh, how thrilling. I wonder if he will crash. I wonder if he will do this or that or the other thing. And lo and behold, an occasional driver allows his consciousness to be concerned by the possibility of crash. And he does. It does not have to take place. It's an obvious and wonderful reasoning that many of these drivers do not allow these things to come into their consciousness, and they do not. The choice is totally theirs, just as the choice is totally ours. The choice of healing, of being aware of our divine perfection, the choice of determining what thoughts enter our consciousness, thoughts of wholeness or thoughts of illness, thoughts of abundance or thoughts of lack, thoughts of world harmony, and harmony in our world doesn't necessarily always, well, yes, it does. It always means the world that exists and turns the universe, but it also means the universe of our individual experiences, the universe of you and I meeting together, the universe of our employment, the universe of our family, the universe of our friends and neighbors, as well as the universe of the people in other lands, in other worlds, in other galaxies. For all are one. All work according to the one divine law of cause and effect, the only law of the universe. And for us to place the law in motion, we have to know who we are. For we cannot expect that we are heir to the kingdom if we do not realize that we are the king. We cannot expect that we will receive the abundance and the happiness and the harmony due a royal personage unless we recognize that we are that royal personage. And once we recognize that, all of our work is done. Once we recognize that, once we are aware of who and what we are, then all we do is claim it and enjoy it. And as we claim it and enjoy it, we experience it. Healing begins in the mind. Truly it does. Whenever you have a problem, whenever you have a need, whenever you have a challenge, whatever you want to call these things, as you direct your attention toward them, as you direct your thinking toward them, then you will experience everything that's beautiful. Then you will experience all of the lovely and wonderful things that could happen in your life. And as you experience them, then you know them. And as you know them, then you are them. Healing begins in the mind. It begins in our awareness that we are absolutely whole and perfect. We are absolutely magnificent. We are absolutely pure. It's interesting that the old phrase that was said many years ago, in every way, every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better and better. It's not bad, but how can one get better if one is the best? How can one ever be a watch if they were not a watch? How could one ever have wholeness if they were not originally whole and pure? How could one be a postage stamp if one were not already a postage stamp? For the ideal, the idea, and the manifestation are all the same. They are the reality. For appearances come and go, just like the world of matter about us, the world of things about us. It's constantly changing in form. It's constantly wearing out or disappearing and reappearing as whatever our mental concept of it is. For this is the kind of world we live in. It's a world of appearances. But the appearances can be of two kinds. They can be the illusion of the mind, that which is temporary and passes away, or they can be the reality, which is eternal, everlasting, never failing, always there. What we have to decide is what is real. What is real? What is everlasting? What is eternal? What is it that we are? Once we have come to the conclusion of what we are, then we can begin to be it. Now let's take a few for instances. As we visualize our body as perfection, when we think of it, so it must be. When we visualize our body as perfection, when we think of our body, so it must be. Think about any area of your body that you like. I was thinking of it the other day as I was walking along the path barefooted. And I was thinking, isn't it wonderful? Here I am leaping along this wonderful wilderness path out here on top of the mountain. And as I run along, there are live oak leaves that are dried and have their little thorny tips shining up and down and around, and little branches that are here and there. And yet, as I run along the path, I don't stumble onto, whoops, I just jab something into my foot. Whoops, one of those little thorny leaves just connected themselves right around my big toe. My goodness. Wherever my thought was, that's what I experienced. Then as I thought, here I am running along this path, enjoying the beautiful, pure air. The ground beneath my feet is as though it were a carpet of purest velvet, and I am surrounded by the perfection of the divinity that I am. And as I kept my mind pure and perfect, as I kept my mind directed to what I really was, no thought of any imperfection entered in, and no reaction of any imperfection entered into my world. I did not step on thorny leaves, nor did I jab sticks into my feet. These occurrences did not happen. We have little cacti on our property here, and the cacti are very interesting. They're called choya. And many people feel as you walk near them, the little thorns jump out to get you. Well, now there are lots of them all around. And they're just fine. They don't really bother anybody. And one day I looked down and I saw that I was running right next to a choya plant. And I thought to myself, they do drop off their little balls of choya as they attach to animals and then move around the property and replant themselves. I must be careful not to step on one. And that very instant, I stepped on one. My mind is the powerhouse of the universe, as yours is. And we attract to ourselves whatever it is we think about. Yes, whatever it is we think about. So many of the people who write in for healing to the University of Healing and to the Healing Ministry of God Unlimited say they have never thought in their minds about cancer. They have never thought in their minds about the inharmonious conditions that have taken place in their body. And I can only reply to them, our body outpictures whatever we do think about. And we must have thought about it at some point in our consciousness to experience it, because nothing happens by chance, nothing happens by accident. There is nothing that takes place in this entire world unless there is a cause placed into motion to bring it into being. So as we visualize our body as perfection, so it must be. As we create our world, whenever we think of it, as flawless, so it must be. As I think of my world, as I look at the world in which I exist, and I think to myself, oh, I would like to have this taken care of, or that taken care of, or the other thing taken care of. Somehow it never gets taken care of. But when I wake in the morning and I say, today, today I am going to clean up the yard. Lo and behold, the yard is cleaned up. Lo and behold, the yard reflects back the harmony. If I were to awaken and say to myself, there is no possible way that this yard could be cleaned up today. There's just so much to do. It couldn't be done. But with the idea that today I'm doing it, it's done. Reminds me of the man who retired and went out to the countryside, had himself a few acres. The acres were filled with brambles and briars and filled with weeds and seeds that needed to be replaced. And this fellow, an industrious fellow, but a very meticulous fellow, decided that he was going to have about him the most beautiful park-like world that ever was anywhere in that area. So little by little, he took the ideal in his consciousness and manifested it in his world. Little by little, he brought it into fruition. Little by little, he demonstrated in his world what he had in his consciousness. Now, to all appearances, the task looked like something monumental, beyond the ability of this little man and his incidental tools. But day by day, he envisioned his grounds as being glorious. And day by day, he planted the seeds of perfection and harmony, and his lawn began to come up. The beautiful bushes that he put in one by one began to sparkle and radiate love. The flowers that festooned the driveway, the walkway to the house, along the edge of the road, the patches of beautiful red and yellow and green, was totally different from the countryside about him. But step by step, he brought into outward expression what he had in his consciousness. While it's true there were centuries, millennia of experiences behind him which would say that this ground would never yield to man's desire, yet he had an ideal, and he placed it into his consciousness, and it manifest for him. All that was there that would defeat him was not taken as a challenge to him to overcome, but step by step, the wilderness retreated from before him, and this beautiful park-like experience manifested in his world. So it is as we look at a healing situation. A body that is racked with pain or completely being eaten away by disease. If we were to look at that body, and if we were to think to ourselves that that body was imperfect, then sure enough, that body would be imperfect. And it would continue to be imperfect forever and ever and ever. It would continue to be imperfect for as long as we visualized it as imperfect. For it can only outpicture whatever our thought is about it. Now the moment that we change our thought about our body, the moment that we change our attitude about ourself, then our body can begin to give us back the picture that is in our consciousness. It can only begin to give it back step by step. Wonderful experience by wonderful experience. And step by step, it does give us back exactly what we think about it. So, as we think about healing now, and we think about the monumental, quote, impossible, unquote, experience that lies before us, we can realize that it is not going to be that way. It is going to be a simple, joyous, harmonious experience for us. For like the man who brought about this garden out of the wilderness, who brought about this park out of nature's forest, an ideal in his consciousness. Now, to some, the ideal might be to leave nature as it is. But to this man, whatever his ideal was brought forth, for it was his world, and he chose to experience it. So it is for us. As we choose to experience wholeness, we bring forth the ideal by expressing our belief about it. By bit, drawing our attention to the truth, not being overwhelmed by the experience that we are faced with, but bit by bit, recognizing the allness that we are, recognizing the oneness that we are, recognizing that we are the creator of our world, and we create it mentally. Then, as this gardener in the pioneer country brought forth out of the wilderness his ideal, so we, as the gardener of our consciousness, bring forth in our body, the world of appearances, wholeness and perfection. As we speak of our body as a functionary ideal in every way, so it must be. As we live in the awareness of our divine inheritance, so it must be. Healing is unnecessary, for all really is already perfect. If all were not perfect, no thing could be healed. For to heal means to return to our original purity and integrity. While peace is a power in experiencing wholeness, love is the joy of it. Many times we speak of love as being the cement, the bonding power of the universe. And truly, this is what this man brought forth out of the wilderness, was his love of the ideal. And as he loved that ideal, it became manifest. Love carries us beyond all experiences, just as love carried this man into the expression of a beautiful park for himself. Love helps us release the non-beneficial notions that are in our consciousness. We know of many parents who love their children regardless of the things that they do. One lady, her daughter disappeared. Her daughter was 18 years old and she disappeared. And the mother said that she just released her. She's old enough now to set her own path. And I release her. I surround her by the perfect love of the universe. And I know that whatever she is doing, it is beautiful and good. I know that wherever she is surrounded by harmony and joy and goodness. I know that she is a beautiful expression of purity and right action. And you know, it wasn't many weeks later that the daughter called and said, "Mom, I'm coming home. I've decided to finish high school. And another daughter, who had just finished college, said, Mom, I'm coming home. I want to live at home for a while I get started on my first job. And another son, who was in high school yet at home, was there. And the mother said, you know, I was sort of releasing my family to go about wherever they were and holding them in my heart with love. Never once thinking that perhaps they would be home in my world. But you know, this woman really did think that they would be home in her world, because in her consciousness she loved them and released them unto their own beingness. But she knew their beingness was good. She knew that they were whole and perfect. She knew with her love that she had set them free. But the freedom she had set them to was divine right action, perfect harmony, love, peace, goodness, all that is beautiful. Yes, this is a divine world. It is a world that is created out of all that is good and beautiful. It is a world that we determine what we're going to experience in. We create our own lives. We create our whole selves. We create everything that we experience. And as we create, as we experience our whole selves, as we live in peace and love, and create a perfect world to express it in, we have done so purposefully. We have done so by taking responsibility for what it is we experience. For by the words we speak, we truly create our world. And as we have created our world in the past to be less than all that we wanted to experience, now we create our world to be all that we want to experience. And we create it harmoniously and beautifully. We create it joyfully and totally. We create it to be that which we speak our word for. And as we do this, it outpictures to us and for us exactly that which we are. For our world can be no more nor any less than what we have in our consciousness. Is anyone in your world needing healing, yourself included? Is anyone in your world needing wholeness and divine right action? If there is, then it's your opportunity now to recreate. Not recreate, because we can never recreate anything. We create anew every time we create. So it is yours and my opportunity to create the world about us as absolutely perfect. That means every person in our experience is perfect. In our world, every man is whole and pure. Every woman is divine and magnificent. Every child is expressing the harmony, the beauty, the beingness that they are. All the affairs in our world are harmonious. There are no wars in our world. There are no pestilences in our world, for we do not create them. There are no accidents. There are no Indy 500 crashes. For our world is a world in which we are the driver, and we determine that regardless of experiences that take place about us, in our world all is good. In our world all is pure. In our world all is ideal. For it is our world, and we are in charge of it. And as we are in charge of it, and as we take charge of it, it responds to us, and it responds to us in the measure that we take charge of it. It will respond in any event, whether we knowledgeably take charge of it or not. But now that we know the law, now that we know the principles involved, now that we know that to heal is to return to our original purity and integrity, we return to our original purity and integrity, and we claim the reality of that which we are. We are God. No more, no less, but the allness of God. And what a glorious awareness it is to know that we are God. And in this knowing, to be that which we are. Absolutely, totally, wonderfully perfect. Right now. Claim this, for it is yours, and it is mine, and it is ours. God bless you, and I love you with all the goodness that's in me.